Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Whether it's finding a signature color or a new statement piece, the right detail can bump your wardrobe up a notch. Kick off this year by letting Indochino take care of your style edit. Customize everything from suits and shirts to chinos and bomber jackets at prices more affordable than you might expect. Indochino offers completely custom-fitted clothing at surprisingly affordable prices. Each piece is made to your exact measurements, and you can customize every detail, including the fabric, lapel, monogram, and statement linings. Create a suit that fits you and your style perfectly. The best part? Indochino suits start from just $449 and shirts from $79, with all customizations included. Get a wardrobe personalized to your taste without spending a fortune. Give yourself a style edit that sets the tone for the rest of the year with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code STYLE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com, promo code STYLE.
Whether you're a seasoned investor like me or new to the game, it's time to sit down, roll up your sleeves, and find out new ways of making money. Subscribe to WBBM's new podcast, Gains with Andy Gersher, where I talk to experts from all over the country to get fresh perspectives on meme stocks, cryptocurrencies, AI, and so much more. Subscribe to Gains with Andy Gersher on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First, I just want to thank some people, if you give me time to do that. Our players, you know, they fought hard all season long. It wasn't perfect by any means. We had our ups and downs, but those guys hung through, and I told them, you know, they were resilient is the word I would use despite some of our setbacks during the season. And you saw that down the stretch. Coaches, you know, they laid it on the line. They put it all in. You know, I'm in the office right next to Leslie Frazier and Sean, and down the hall is the offensive staff. These guys put it in. They put a lot of hours, a lot of work. I can promise you nothing. They've looked at every single thing of every single game, even the ones we lost, and I'm really appreciative of what they did. Nate Bresky and our training staff, it's an unsung group, but just the health of our group between him, Eric Ciano, and Joe Collins. You know, and Nate had to deal with all the COVID. This is a second year of dealing with that, and that's a lot of headaches on him. Uh-huh. Beyond, he never signed up for that when he was an athletic trainer, and I appreciate what he and his staff have done. Jeff Mazurek, our equipment, I mean, we had the craziest weather. We had to go on the road to get some normal weather. He had, you know, whether it was Josh keeping his hands warmer, all of our players, what kind of, you know, the field got frozen. We were trying to keep it tarp for that playoff game against New England and trying to make sure our guys had the right cleats. Those are things that people don't think about, but it's injury prevention and guys playing to their, you know, to their caliber. And Jeff and his staff did a great job. You know, our scouts have already hit on the road again to help put this team together, and they're at the NFLPA and Senior Bowl, and we can talk about that, but I really appreciate it of them. And our owners, Terry and Kim, I know it's easy to forget, but they give us every single resource, and I mean it. And I talk to GMs, I talk to other people. Some people don't have it the way we have it, and I hopefully everyone in this city realizes that they do give us every single thing we asked for. And that's huge for me to – I can sleep good at night knowing that we have everything we need. If something doesn't work, it's not because they didn't give it to us. And last, our fans, you know, the Bills Mafia. I'm sick to my stomach that we lost the other night, but I am so appreciative. Our building is so appreciative. It's painful. And for people to show up at the airport at 3 in the morning, I don't know what the temperature was, but I wanted to hug them all. But I am just so appreciative all year long. No matter where we went, we lost in Jacksonville, and that was probably the most painful game other than the other night. And so many of them stayed and were, like, chanting for us. I mean, I would have been booing us. I was booing myself. And it just says a lot to who they are. And I'm sorry that we didn't get it done. We're all hurting, and I'm sorry. With that said, I'll open up to any questions. I haven't slept much, so I've thought about it a lot, John. It's painful, and still going through it. You know, I haven't watched the film, to be honest with you. I watched a little bit of the last plays, but I can't watch it right now. I'm not in a good spot, but I will. We'll review it, and we'll learn from it. I promise you that. There's a lot of pain in this city, and there's a lot of pain in that building over there. And, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to not let that happen again.
What can you tell us? I realize, you know, you're not on the sideline. You're upstairs. But what can you tell us about the how and the why all that went down in the final 13 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. At the end of the day, like, we didn't get it done. And we've talked about it. Sean and I have talked about it at length, you know, talked about it with ownership. And, you know, there's nothing I can say that's going to fix it. We've reviewed it. We've talked about it. I can promise you we're going to continue. We're going to learn from it as an organization. You know, things happen. There's, you know, the golf analogy, there's no mulligans here. You know, I'd love to re-tee it. And Sean would as well. Our players would. Our coaches. We didn't do what we needed to do when we had them there for that 13 seconds. And you know, Sean's got a knot in his stomach. He's got a pit. You know, he wishes there's things he could have done. You know, there's nothing I can tell you that's going to fix it. We have to learn from it. You know how much that we work on these things. Sean and I talk about game management all year long after every game. Games we win, things that don't necessarily get talked about in the media, we still talk about things. And I may ask him questions of, and he'll explain what the thought was there or whatever. I'm big into game management. And this is one I can tell you we're gonna learn from. And again, there's nothing I can say that can fix it. I wish I could fix it. I've thought about it a million times.
Brandon, recognizing nothing's ever linear in this league, but outside of the win of the division again, you did lose six games as opposed to three, and you got knocked out a week earlier in the playoffs. Would you consider it a step back given where you were last year?
No, I don't think it's a step back. It's a good question, Sal. You know, sometimes you have teams that go through, you know, we always talk about it, you go through adversity and various things happen during each season. Sometimes you're in a funk or you lose some play, the wrong players at the wrong time. You know, it's a matchup league, and sometimes you match up against certain opponents better than you do other opponents. I mean, you know, we lost to New England here. You know, I thought the weather probably suited how they were built better than where we were at the time. And but there's other games that we lost that, you know, we would like back. I thought we were playing really good football. The key is to get in the tournament. I wish we had won a game or two more, which could have had at least one more home game, maybe two. if I was saying, you know, regrets, but I think this team was playing really good football down the stretch. You know, I think some of you have referenced it. You know, this team was really hurt after that New England loss here. They know how much that means to this city and this fan base, and to us, it's a division game. We take our division games very seriously, and then we had to turn around quickly and go to Tampa, you know, Super Bowl champion, and the first half just was spinning out of control. And, you know, I thought the players and the coaches did a great job of just, hey, forget the scoreboard, let's just go out there and see what happens and lay it on the line. And, you know, if not for a call or two here or there that, you know, probably could have really helped us, I think we'd have won that game. And but the light came on there. You know what? Look what we just did in this second half. Let's get back to that. Let's be ourselves. Let's be loose. You know, maybe we were a little bit tight. You know, I don't know. But I thought we were really playing good football down the stretch. And, you know, I think you saw it the other night. That was a heck of a game between two teams. You know, Kansas City, I don't need to – they're one heck of a team. And compared to where we were a year ago when we played them twice, once here, we hung in with them, but it really wasn't as close as probably the score. We went to that AFC championship, and, you know, they didn't run us out of the gym, but we never really made it a game, I would say. This year we went on the road, and we played really well there week five and beat them, and I think that gave us some confidence. We had to go back on the road again, and, I mean, that game could have gone either way. I mean, I truly believe if we played them 10 times, it's probably 5-5. And that's my heart of hearts. They may think different. That's how I see it. If we had just finished that game the way we know how, we're not sitting here right now. We're preparing, you know, for another one. And so I think we took some steps in the right direction, even though we didn't make it as far as we did a year ago. So,
Brandon, with that said, you know, last year at this setting, you had a very clear focus on retaining your own in free agency. That was the goal of this franchise, and you executed that goal. When you sit here today, knowing, though, that you still haven't gotten over that hump, is it still the goal, retaining your own, or do you have to maybe say, I need to look outside this organization for the reinforcements necessary to get us over that hump?
Yeah, and I would say, Jay, it wasn't when I left here last year at this time that we had to have all our guys back. It worked out, whatever we had, 21 or 22 starters, something like that. But I didn't know if, you know, Matt Milano, if we were going to lose him, or Darryl or Feliciano, you know, various guys. We did bring in Emmanuel Sanders, who came in and helped us. You know, we got Star back. I didn't try to put it that we had to have everybody back. I wanted to get some of those pieces back that I knew could help us that did, but I was still looking on the outside, you know, last year, and we'll do the same. We're going to assess this roster, which we've started personnel meetings this week with each side of the ball, and we've got to first know our own roster before we start looking at other rosters, and we've got to be honest. And it's hard when you lose a game like this to take the emotion out. If a guy played really good this week, but he hadn't played good consistently all year, we can't put too much positive. Or if a guy just didn't play well the other night, but really was a big reason we were there, we don't want to take that away. So we gotta step back, but we also got to be honest. But, Jay, I'm going to look everywhere. I'm going to look inside this building. And, you know, the cap matters here too. So there may be some guys on this team that I want to keep that – I can't keep them all. You know, we now have paid Josh, and which is good because I know what his number is on the books for the upcoming years, and we can just build around it. The cap, you know, went back last year, so we had to restructure some guys' contracts. I normally wouldn't like to do that, but we had to do it. A lot of teams did it. If you looked across the league, there were a lot more restructures just to get under the 182 number. This year it's going back up to the 208, I think. It's not going to be perfect for us, but it's going to be better. And, you know, we'll still have to make some moves, but I wouldn't see us being, like, big spenders or anything like that, but we'll definitely look to fill some spots from the outside as well as retain some of our guys.
Brandon, if I could follow that, from a defensive standpoint? I mean, statistically during the regular season, number one in the league in six significant categories, including points and scoring, that can't be overlooked. But at the same time, you did things in part to match up more effectively with the Chiefs last offseason. We've kind of seen that play out. Do you have enough defensively to get over the top, seeing how that game played out the other night?
Adam, we could have won 50 to nothing, and I still would think we need more. I mean, that's the God's honest truth, because you know everyone's when you get up here, everyone's chasing you. Your division's chasing you. We've won that 2 years in a row. And just because we beat the Chiefs, I'm sure they would still look at – they're going at the end of the year, however they finish, they're still going to look at the teams that are going they're going to have to run into next year. So I think we did some good things. I think we played them – we played them twice this year. I thought the first time – we really played them very well defensively. I think they adjusted and they handled it better this time. They probably got the better of, you know, their offense got the better of our defense the other night. But they do that to a lot of teams. They're really good. I mean, that quarterback he's outstanding. And Tyreek Hill he's a unique guy. If you guys see a guy like Tyreek Hill out there, let me know. I'd love to have him. So. It's just that speed that he took off, you know, after we took the lead and we were up three, I think, and he took that crosser, you know, we were in two man, and he got past Levi, and there were some angles that guys probably thought they had the right angle on him, and he just beat it. And you can't coach that. I would love to have a lot of guys with that speed. That's just a rare trait.
Brandy, kind of going off of that, you know, last year we talked about the need for speed and matching the Chiefs' speed, as you just mentioned. Yep. Is that going to be kind of an emphasis, maybe even more so, this offseason and when you're going towards the draft?
Not necessarily. I mean, Heather, they still got to be a good football player. You don't want to put a bunch of track guys out here and say we're going to keep up with them, but they don't have instincts. I'm always looking for speed. Size, speed, like those are prototype things that we're looking for at whatever position it is, whether it's linemen with speed, whether it's D linemen with speed, like I'm looking for that at all times, and it does help, but you got to be careful that you're not just chasing speed and we're losing instinct, smart, and feel. Does that make sense?
Whether it's speed or not, I think a lot of the talk last year was matching the Chiefs, beating the Chiefs. They're the measuring stick, building a team, some of the moves made to combat what they're doing. You saw what happened in the Super Bowl, and maybe direct, you can speak on how you built the team to match them. Is that what you're thinking here today? Is that still the team that we have to beat? We have to find a way to find the pieces. And I understand you still have to beat New England's of the world in your division. I understand that. But is that what your thought process is?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to, again, Sal, if we had beat, let's say we beat them the other night, I'd still be, when our season was over this week, or I'd still be looking back going, the Chiefs are going to be back. Pat Mahomes ain't going anywhere. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, they've got a lot of speed. They've done a great job. You know, Coach Reed, Brett Veach, give them a lot of credit. They've had a nice slow build. You know, I don't know what Andy got there, maybe 2013. And they've done a great job. You know, they had some pieces because they started with Alex Smith and were putting some pieces around him, Kelce and Tyreek and those guys. And – you know, it was a really good situation. Mahomes came in, set for a year, learned from a great pro like Alex, and then you start out with those weapons a little bit different than our build here with Josh, where we were having to redo the cap at that time with the same rookie quarterback. So it's kind of a different way to get there, but they've done a great job, and I think everyone in the AFC and are definitely looking at them. They're the gold standard. I said it a year ago. They still are. We'll see how they play against Cincinnati this week. Who's a nice, you know, they've done a great job there with Joe Burrow.
Brandon, can you maybe just give us a rundown of what you thought you got from your rookie class this year?
Yeah. Starting with Greg, you know, for a guy who set out due to the COVID, I thought he did a great job. He started 17 games and then the two playoff games. Probably definitely hit the rookie wall in there with some games. You know, probably wasn't as physical with his hands or fine. Just He started really well in camp, started early in the year. I thought he hit a little bit of a lull, but he came on late. I think it was Atlanta. He had the sack fumble against Matt Ryan and really kind of regained his poise and helped us down the stretch. And he is an unbelievable young man. He fit in great. I think he's going to be a really good pro for us for a long time. Boogie, on the other hand, you know, we went with that another D in there, as I told you multiple times, wasn't planning on doing that. Boogie fell out of the numbers. It wasn't anything we were disappointed in him, but you got some vets, and you're honestly going to rely on those when it's close. You're going to rely on the experience of Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison. I think Mario ended up with 7. I don't remember what Jerry had, but it just became a numbers game at times where we couldn't get them all up. And it's nice from what that you got in the bullpen in case you get injuries, but selfishly, you know, in my seat, I'd love to see them all play and play more. I thought Boogie really did some good things when he got his opportunity, and this will be a big offseason for him to come in and, as I've told him, fight for a starting job. You know, don't just settle for a backup rotational type player. I thought Spencer did some really good things for us, had some strong games. Deion was out to start the year with COVID. We had to play him at left, which was not our plan. We drafted him, and it didn't look too big for him. Deion got back, and we didn't start him at the year. We kind of went – we were trying to figure out, you know, a veteran group, let a rookie kind of ease in, but did some really good things. I was talking with Bobby Johnson the other day, and just his knockdowns per snap were really high. Just a guy cleaning the pocket for Josh, getting downfield, taking guys out. He's got some things to learn. I thought he hit the wall a little bit at times too. But, you know, we expect big things for him as our right tackle going forward. Who am I leaving out here? Tommy Doyle did a great job. Was the extra lineman for us. Played a lot late. Obviously, he had the touchdown, which was a cool thing for him. We expect a lot from Tommy. He really, from preseason, wasn't sure if he was ready to help us on the 53 immediately. But where he was probably made one of the biggest jumps of the class from where he was when we ended camp to helping us down the stretch. You know, Speedy did some good things when he got his chance. Wild Goose is gone. Who else am I? Hamlin. DeMar did a great job. I think he's got a real legit chance. You know, obviously he's behind Micah and Jordan, but he's a good special teamer, and you know Jaquan kind of settled into that third safety this year. I think he's really going to push Jaquan next year behind those two guys. But I think if he works and does the thing that he did this year, I think he's going to play in this league for a while.
Considering the assets that you have devoted to the defensive line, rookies and free agents, yeah. Draft and free agents, did you feel you got enough from the defensive line? I know it's the number one defense in the league, but did you get enough from your pass rush specifically for that D-line?
I think in certain games we did, Sal. I think there were some games that we would have liked to have more, if I'm being honest. But I think they definitely helped, you know. Sometimes what happens is people, when your rush is going well, you play some opponents, they're going to get the ball out faster to frustrate you. They're going to screen you. You know, that's how you defeat this defense, is a penetrating group. But consistently all year, probably not as much, but I think they did some really good things. We're kind of in a blend of some aging vets with some young guys. But I like where we're at. I like where we're heading. And Sal, I'm always going to put resources in the front. It's just how I believe it should be built. And, you know, don't ever be shocked if you see us trying to add there, free agency or the draft, any point.
Brandon, one guy that's so polarizing within the fan base, started with Tua, obviously he missed last season coming in, a little bit of an unknown, some availability issues at times this year. What was your assessment of him in here? This year.
Yeah, really good question, Matt. I think Star came back. I was worried. You take a year off, worried about injuries. You know, this is a hard, you know, his position, it's a car crash in there. And I thought he really, he had a couple things early, missed the first game. But once he got going, that game in Miami, his first game back, he really balled out and played well. He was a force, probably his most consistent play until he got COVID that day of the Jets. But if you look at his tape from week two, his first game, through whatever game was before the Jets, he was one of our most disruptive linemen. We've talked about it before. He's not going to get a bunch of sacks. I know he did one in the New England game. But when he got COVID, when he came back, you know, it really affected him. And without getting too deep in the woods, you know, I don't think he returned to form. And I think he'd be the first to tell you that, to what he was playing early in the year. And so he got better, and I thought it improved the two playoff games, but I still don't think it was as consistent as he was, you know, the first part of the season.
All right, going back to scouting and the draft coming up in the near future, last season, a year ago, everything was kind of closed with COVID. The NFL Combine was not open directly to in-person and
yeah.
Such. Does that make a difference this year that I believe now the Combine will be open to in-person and assessing these guys face-to-face? Is that big of a deal that's going to be a plus for you coming this year?
It's definitely a plus to be able to get up next to these guys and be around them. And just even when you're not interviewing them, you got people kind of keeping an eye on them at the Combine, keeping an eye on them between practice if it's at the, you know, the East-West or the Senior Bowl. So that exposure will help us for sure. The Zoom world, and I appreciate you guys doing this in person. I hate the Zoom world, but, you know, the Zoom world is good on some accounts. We can reach more people, but it's never as good as in person. And so I'm excited about this offseason compared to last offseason.
Brandon, what do you think you got from Cole Beasley this year? And how does he project for you moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, Cole had, I think, about the same number of catches. Joe, you can verify that for me. Maybe not as much total yards, and I don't remember his touchdown count. Cole can still play. You know, at times our offense went through some different things were working at times early in the year. Middle of the year we had some lulls, and then late Isaiah played some roles in some games where, you know, Dable thought that, you know, the jet motion, the jet sweeps, you know, if it was press man, you know, Isaiah running across the formation, whatever it was, deep overs, that was a better matchup. So sometimes Isaiah, you know, and when he got his chances, he made plays. I think that, you know, probably took Cole out of the game, sometimes just for our running stuff. You know, as we got our running game going a little bit down the stretch, we just felt that Isaiah really helped that because – the stuff behind the line of scrimmage is harder for these backers or whoever's the safety coming down to read, and it's not a way we would use Cole in that way. So Cole can still play, and he'll continue to play in this league. And, you know, there's his diminished snaps was just more where our offense was at the time. We had a lot of pieces. I mean, the game at New England, it can be hard. Not that you have too many pieces, but you got – Diggs, Emmanuel, Gabe, Cole, Isaiah, everybody wants the ball, and that's where Dable's job is hard, and Josh Allen's, you know, he's wanting to feed them all. In some games, one guy's getting 8 targets and the other guy's getting none, and it flips. I thought that game against New England, our receivers all pitched in and made plays, and it's hard to do, but I think it was as much his – maybe it didn't feel like he had as much production – because other guys were making plays. I mean, 2 years ago, it was really him and John Brown. Last year, it was him and Diggs. John Brown was hurt. Gabe came on for us. I felt like this year, year two, we had just more weapons at Josh's disposal.
He said he could still play, but do you see him as a piece moving forward for your team?
For our team? Yeah, I mean, Cole, he's still under contract, so – you know, I didn't sit down with Cole at the end and see where he was at and things like that. But yeah, I would anticipate Cole being back.
Brandon, how would you assess the run game? Because it was-
was something last year that we talked about that was inconsistent and probably needed to take a step forward. And then this season, maybe it started a little slower than expected, but certainly finished strong. So as a whole group, how would you assess that?
Yeah, Matt, very inconsistent early. And, you know, we struggled to get that going. You know, I think as we've alluded to in some of these other earlier questions, we definitely found a rhythm. I thought Devin had his best stretch of his three-year career, December, January, ran with, for a 200-pound guy, he runs with good power. And I thought his vision was really good and catching the ball out of the backfield, you know, and I thought the O-line found their rhythm. And, again, it's all got to work in sync. And sometimes, you know, I could go bring in five Pro Bowler linemen here and everybody go, man, we're about to just run through the world. It doesn't always work that way. The communication piece is so important between these guys. And, you know, obviously it starts with Mitch at the center calling, you know, ID and the protections or whatever the run game is. And, you know, that down the stretch, that group, you know, we hated to lose Ike because I thought it was gelling even with him. But Ryan Bates, next man up, got his chance. And I didn't feel we dropped off. And it kind of just the ball kept rolling once we started it. So something to build on for that whole group. And hopefully next year we won't start out with the lull that we kind of had this year.
Brandon, with the offensive line, it's the second year. You bring back Quentin, kind of goes south early. Bring back Daryl and John. John ultimately gets hurt, doesn't come back in. Daryl kicks inside. Just how do you feel the offensive line has kind of been handled over the past couple of years? And where do you see maybe some of the evaluations before the season seeming to go so far south, you know, not too far in?
Yeah, I mean, it's two ways. I mean, I feel like we've had good depth, you know, even back to last year that with Quentin's situation. You know, the hard part is when you have a lot of competition, people that have started, they want to start. And I want that. Sometimes people can get frustrated. And so it kind of goes both ways. You gotta have enough talent. You're going to have injuries there. We see that. But you got to make sure that you also have guys that understand their roles and are willing to accept them. And so I think that happened, I mean, at times. But, you know, we'll continue to try to have depth there, and we'll continue to try to build it. As I said, with the D-line, we got to be strong. It starts with protecting Josh. And part of protecting Josh is also a run game. And I'm not saying we got to run it 30 times, but enough to keep them honest so that these DNs aren't just pinning their ears back and, you know, chasing him 7-8 yards down the field.
Brandon, overtime rules have been a big topic among the fan base, understandably, coming out of Sunday night. And I don't know to what degree that you've talked to Terry and Kim, or could you indicate maybe to what extent they would be in support of a change to overtime rules, any proposal moving forward?
Yeah, Adam. It's funny, when we had in-person the league, the owners' meetings, a couple years ago, you know, it's been the last 2 years it wasn't. That was a big topic on the table that was being tossed around. Various proposals were being thrown out there. It happened again last year, but we had the owners' meeting Zoom. It was kind of a harder, nothing passed. I do think it's a hot topic. You know, I have my own ideas. You know, at the end of the day, we lost the game the other night, but of course we would love to, and I think TV audience would have loved to seen Josh and our offense get it back. I would definitely love to see some it brought back to the table. I'm not saying I have the exact idea, but I think there's some ways to do it. Without getting into detail, I think there's a way you can do it in the regular season that handles that, but let's do something in the postseason when it's all on the line, and that would be where my head is on it. I have not talked to Terry and Kim on it. Sean and I, you know, in the coming days, we'll do our exit with them, kind of debrief of the whole season, and I'm sure we'll talk about it.
So you could see a comparison, say, to the NHL, where they'll have a shootout during the regular season and a sudden death format, not direct,
yeah,
but a different format for the postseason to alleviate that.
Yeah, I mean, there's something that I've thought of, and that has been proposed too. There's been some different proposals of something in the regular season a certain way, because it's a 17-game season. okay? You can't have these guys playing too many minutes from wear and tear. So maybe there ends up being some more ties in the regular season, but let's make sure we give both offenses a chance when the season's on the line. I think we all I know Kansas City lost a few years back to New England, I think in similar game, maybe it was the championship game, where Brady took them all the way down, scored. Mahomes never got the ball back. And so I'm sure even though it benefited them the other night, I'm sure they would be in a favor. If you got Pat Mahomes, you're always going to want to make sure he gets the ball. And we feel the same about Josh.
We know that Ryan could wind up getting a head coaching job, or Leslie for that matter, but Ryan could wind up getting a head coaching job. There's reports that Ken could be his first choice as OC. So a little bit of a two-part question here, Brandon. I know you can't go into details. What are those talks like leading up to that to communicate to Ken what you would want, number one? And number two, last year you kept your entire staff intact, which is very rare, actually. I think a couple assistant position coaches went to college. Let's say Ken or other people do leave. What is that process like of you already knowing where to branch out to communicate to other people who are looking for jobs or already have jobs around the league?
Yeah, so, you know, Sean and I have talked about a list of candidates for, you know, if you lose Leslie Frazier, if you lose Brian Daboll, you know, the rules are such that no matter what, you have to interview from the outside anyway for coordinator positions. So we would follow all those. We have a list of some guys. You know, we kind of have to wait. We're kind of in this wait-and-see mode because at this point, Brian and Leslie are still in the interview mode. And, you know, it's hard because we're kind of like, is he getting one? Is he not? Is he getting one? Is he not? And we're rooting for them both to get one. You know, we really appreciate what they've done. But until it happens, we can't start our process of interviewing for, you know, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. But, yeah, you know, we always want to look inside too. We would want to look at what do we have, whether on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball, what do we have on staff here that we think could handle – Brian's job or Leslie's, and then who are the candidates out there that we've coached against, played against, whatever it is that, man, that guy, you know, that system I really like. I wonder what it would be like. Let me bring him in and pick his brain and see if he would be a fit. So we'll definitely look inside and look outside.
Brandon, when it comes to possibly having to replace Brian Daboll, Sean said that, you know, they would keep Josh in the loop and communicate with him. How much do you guys, you know, from your perspective, take Josh's opinion and input into account? And how much do you value a possible, you know, guy to replace him that has familiarity already with Josh, considering he's only ever had one offensive coordinator his entire career up to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I feel fortunate that Josh has only had one offensive coordinator. You see young quarterbacks, and I'll get to your question, but you see young quarterbacks struggle that have to go through multiple coordinators. So that was one of the things that we put down, stability in the offensive system and the coaches around him. So it's been great 4 years, and three of those years, Ken Dorsey's been right there. Shea Tierney had a great group. Even Davis Webb in his own way. He's like a player coach for us. So, but Josh definitely value his opinion. You know, we have a great relationship. I sat down with Josh Monday, and you know, we just talked about the game, the season, life, and he's in such a great spot. I'm so proud of where he's at. I and or Sean, we'd be crazy not to loop him in. Now he's not. We would ask him for opinion, but like sometimes last year, I'll go back to signing Mitch Trubisky. You know, I already had the deal, you know, close to done, but I called Josh and just said, hey, before I finalize this, this is what's going down. Is there anything I'm missing? You know, you guys have never had an issue with each other that I'm aware of. I've done my research, but I definitely wouldn't want to bring someone in the quarterback room, player, coach, whatever, that might not allow Josh to be at his best. And Mitch was outstanding, and I know he's going to get a chance to go out and play. But, yeah, whatever it is, if it's, you know, if Brian leaves, you know, we'd be silly not to get Josh's opinion. And listen, we know what he thinks of Ken Dorsey. It's very high. That matters to us. But we definitely have to do our due diligence.
You mentioned Mitch there. Do you anticipate him potentially leaving for a starting role, or would you like to have him back, given the role that he had working with Josh?
I'd love to have Mitchell back. If you could negotiate that same deal we got him on last year, Jay, I can give you his agent's number. Let me know if you get it done. But everything's negotiable, buddy. But yeah, Mitch did a great job. What a fit here he was, you know, and his wife, and I know they're expecting now. He and Josh didn't really know each other, but Josh and I talked about Mitch yesterday and or 2 days ago, and he was outstanding. Like, for a guy that wants to play, you know, I worried in season if he was going to start getting the itch. Like, man, I want to get out there. And we even, you know, someone called us at the trade deadline asking about him. And I just – he was such a great fit for us. I couldn't part with him knowing the team we had. And, you know, fortunately Josh stayed healthy. But if anybody calls me about Mitch on another team, I'm going to give him, you know, a great recommendation. And if he doesn't get where – I've told him and his agent, if he doesn't get what he wants, we got a spot for him.
Experience with Mitch, though, how do you approach the backup quarterback spot going forward? Like, is a one-year thing, like, with Mitch, do you see that fitting in the future, or how do you kind of view building behind Josh?
Yeah, we'll definitely look. We'll look at both free agency and the draft, just like we did last year. This was unique that, you know, Mitchell had some opportunities, but they weren't at stable places, and he was at the point where it didn't work out at the Bears. You don't want to go somewhere that quick and it go negative, go south on him. Come here and hit the reset. And, you know, again, I talked to Mitchell before he left, and he, even though there were times he definitely wanted to play, he thought the reset was good for him. So, Lana, we'll look at all those avenues. It's an important position. We know how Josh is. You know, I'm up there screaming for him to get down plenty of times. You know, and I don't ever get onto him for throwing interceptions, you know, a fumble or, you know, whatever happens. The only time I ever get on to Josh is for taking unnecessary hits. And that's his play style. That's why we love him. But a backup quarterback is very important, knowing the way he plays the game.
I ask you about that in terms of Josh and running the ball. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it seemed like as the year went on, I'll use the word cohesion, within the scheme of the offense. Like, it seemed that there was some type of consensus, we're going to use this to our advantage, but we're going to be smarter about it. I'm putting words in your mouth, and I don't mean to, but I sensed a more, less ad-lib and more, like, design stuff that factored in that to an extent, with there obviously being a risk there. Was that the case?
You nailed it, Adam. Spot on. I think he likes to run the ball. You know, he enjoys it. I think it gets him lathered up. And, you know, he's a linebacker playing quarterback. That's his mentality. I think you guys know that. Like, I want him to get down. He wants to run over somebody. And he's improved in that. You remember at Miami a year or two ago, he's trying to, you know, it's Kyle Van Noy and somebody else, and, like, dudes are teeing off on him. That's not what you should do. You should get down. But he likes it, gets him in a rhythm, gets him in a flow. You know, the main thing that, you know, Sean and I have talked to Dable about, or Dorsey, or Josh himself, is just try and get down when you can. And I thought this year at times he really did a good job. Down the stretch, late, got to have it moments, I'm a little bit more okay with it. Early in the season, slide, get out of bounds, don't take those unnecessary hits.
Brandon, I know you concern yourself with everything, but cornerback in particular, you might lose Levi. Trey, you hope, comes back and is good, but yeah. That looks like an area that is going to need some addressing. Is there a concern at that spot?
Yeah, I mean, Sal, you know, last year, you know, I know people were upset or, you know, didn't understand why I didn't draft one where we did. We had corners in the draft that we liked. The problem was we had other players ahead of them. And, you know, we looked at this middle of the season, at the end of the season, after Dane had played a lot, you know, our guys measured out pretty well to, you know, a good number of those guys in the draft. And you don't just want to take a guy. Let's just say I took a guy in the second round instead of taking Boogie, even though I didn't really have that value on him. You guys are going to be expecting, well, man, this guy went in the second round. The fans are going to be expecting, this guy went in the second round. I reached for him. And There's going to be a level of expectation. His teammates who don't scout are going to be like, oh, man, we got a second-round corner. Let's do this. And then if he's not beating out a guy who you took in the seventh round the year before, there's going to be like, what's going on? That's a bust. And so I have to be very careful when I select a guy to make sure I'm selecting at his value. And that's why I truly follow the board to a degree. You know, you can't – I couldn't continue to take DNs every round last year, even though I'd like to. But that's the truth. So it is a position, and probably the biggest emphasis is Tre'Davious coming off an ACL. Where will that be in August? You know, will he be able to practice some? Will he be full? Will he be definitely ready to go game one? You never know with those things. He's on track. He's here every day. He's working hard. He's super competitive. We're very confident he will be, but still a long way to go. So it's definitely something I'll pay attention to in free agency. Levi's a free agent. He tested the waters last year. We were able to get him back. You know, he's a guy we'll definitely talk to, and would love to get him back if he wants to be back. That, you know, time will tell there. But either way, you know, we'll continue to look for depth at the corner position.
Brandon, going back to Josh Allen, Sean McDermott said when we talked to him yesterday that, you know, we still want to continue to put pieces around him that help him succeed. How does that get easier or harder, knowing that he's been here for 4 years and has had a lot of success, and you guys do have pieces that you like in place, but you're probably just looking for more specifics now, but also balancing how the offense finished the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to try. First thing, I'm going to try and protect him. As I said earlier, I got to make sure the O-line is set and that we're confident in them. But beyond that, always looking for the various pieces, whether it's a size guy, a guy who's just going to run the intermediate routes quicker than fast. You know, we mentioned Tyreek Hill. I mean, you'd love to have a guy, a rack guy that you can get the ball to, and he can turn a 5-yard pass into a 60-yard touchdown. So we'll continue to look for those things. You know, you can never – we've talked about speed here. I think Heather asked it, but you can never have enough of that. So we'll continue to look for various ways, you know, out of the backfield, tight end. You know, Dawson had a really good year. You know, there's various ways to run an offense, whether you run two tight ends, whether you run five wide, whether you run two backs. So you really just want to find different pieces, and it doesn't have to fit exactly. We don't have to go just find a tight end or go find just a certain receiver. We'll find pieces, and that's where Brian Daboll, and if Daboll goes, it'll be on the offensive coordinator to kind of put it together and utilize their skill set.
You mentioned
Ed Oliver are 23 and 24. What did you think of their trajectory here?
Tremaine and Ed?
Yeah.
I'll take them one at a time. You know, I thought Tremaine did a really good job again. His leadership, you know, Tremaine is a quieter guy. Probably if you compare him and Josh, they're both the quarterbacks of their side of the ball. Tremaine is naturally quieter, more lead by example, but when he speaks, guys do listen, and I think he's, you know, year by year, he's more comfortable being that guy, being that alpha, even though maybe it's not innately natural to him. You know, Tremaine has done some really good things. I thought his physicality improved this year, you know, take on, getting off blocks. I thought all that improved. There's still, you know, things that he wants to get better at, and we think, you know, going into next year, he's a young player still, but, you know, going into year five, we think he'll be even better. And Ed, you know, didn't have – he had 3 or 4 sacks that were probably taken away from him, you know, on penalties, things like that. I thought he was our best, most consistent D lineman all year from start to finish, and I think he trended up all year. The game slowed down for Ed this year, and – he was a huge factor in our success. And again, Sal asked me earlier about grading the D-line. Those guys were a big part of what we did, even though, you know, we don't have a 15-sack guy or anything like that, a number of tackles for loss. Ed really helped the back end with his disruption, having the quarterback get the ball out, or at least getting him off the spot having to throw on the move turns into an incompletion or an interception.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.